Charlene Hall doesn't give her son a choice when she calls him downstairs to go over his homework.
Why? Because I asked you to.
Within a few minutes, Trey shows up at the dining room table, a skinny 10-year-old boy with wire-rimmed glasses.
Measuring angles. 3 students measured the angle below.
Hall listens carefully and reads over his work, trying not to help him too much.
His teacher and I talked, and she wants me not to correct his homework. So I let her go over it with him. Give me a minute.
Trey goes to a special education school in Bayside. He's in fifth grade now, and he's doing well in class. His mother credits the small program he's in and the medications he's taking to control his attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity. The symptoms first surfaced when he was in kindergarten.
He started biting children, and we couldn't figure out what it was.
Hall and her husband had their son tested. Once he was diagnosed, Trey's school recommended different special ed programs at public schools all over Queens.
First school I went to, one of the psychologists who actually evaluated him told me he thinks I would like that school. So I went to that school and I looked around, and every classroom that I looked into, they were basically African-American boys. And after the tour, I said to her, why do I see so many children of color in the special education classes? And she says, that's just how it is. And I was bothered by it.
The school was in a largely white neighborhood, known for its good schools. Hall had no doubt her son needed serious help, but as an African-American parent, the experience fed her suspicions about how teachers view black children.
There's a perception that African-American boys are busy and you automatically, not busy, harder to teach. And if Johnny, who might be Caucasian, was acting out, they might say, oh, that's Johnny, let's have his parents come in, let's put a plan forth. Whereas if Trey was to act out, he doesn't belong here, this is not the place for him, which is some of the things they said to me. He needs to be somewhere else that's better suited for him.
There are roughly 150,000 special education students in the New York City public schools. Last year, 78% of the city's special ed kids were black or Latino. That's about 5 percentage points higher than their combined population in the entire school system. Blacks alone comprise about a third of all city students. But among those kids who are deemed emotionally disturbed, like Trey, 53% are black, and almost 43% of kids labeled mentally retarded are black. Those figures are no surprise to Dr. Beth Harry, a professor of special education at the University of Miami.
In the category of mental retardation, which really refers to mild mental retardation, we generally find African-American kids being represented at about 2.5 times their presence in the school system.
Harry has written a new book with the blunt title, Why Are So Many Minority Students in Special Education? She found both blacks and Latinos can also be disproportionately diagnosed as learning disabled. She agrees with parents who suspect there could be a racial element, but she also blames a built-in bias against students in low-income neighborhoods, most of whom are minorities.
The bias shows itself in inferior schooling, larger class sizes than you would get in better-off neighborhoods, less qualified teachers, very often more rigid discipline rather than emotional support. Those characteristics are quite typical of inner city or urban schools that serve a lot of these kids. So it's true that you might be able to say, well, a kid came to school with difficulties, possibly at age 5 or age 6, but it's very hard to tease out what's the role of the school in making those issues worse or better.
In New York, there's no doubt that students with disabilities do a lot better in successful schools. A tracking survey by the State Education Department last year found 80% of disabled students in the state's wealthy districts graduated high school with academic diplomas after 5 years. That's almost 4 times the rate of New York City, where 23% of special ed kids got diplomas in the same time period. To educators, it's all part of the same sad problem. Dr. Rebecca Court is the state's deputy education commissioner in charge of vocational and educational services for individuals with disabilities. Court says large cities face the same problems educating disabled kids that they have in educating everyone else.
These include issues of poverty. In many cases, students coming in from other countries who don't speak English. When you have a disability, it's often harder to make up that kind of lag in language development, especially if you have a speech and language disability in both languages.
But there's more pressure now that the state is pushing for higher standards.
There was an exhibit about
wrestlers.
Well, that was part of the exhibit. Very good. It was called ABC.
10-year-old Trey goes to a special education school in Bayside, where he's one of only 8 students in his class.
Trey, tell me what it was about.
Mexico City.
It was about Mexico City.
Trey is bright and performs at grade level when he's able to focus. The No Child Left Behind law requires special education students to take annual tests, just like all other students. Some kids are given extra time, and low-performing kids are measured in other ways. Last year, Trey's school, which is called P4, met its goal for math, but it fell short in English, putting it in danger of state intervention. Principal Marcy Berger says she's personally frustrated when success is overshadowed by failure.
There's so much that's good that's going on, and there's so much that we combat by the mere nature of the children with whom we work. I look at our kids, and to watch them struggle to pass the test, to prove what? To me, it's a lot more important that the child has learned how to function and the child can actually write a paragraph.
Deputy Commissioner Court says the state is talking with federal officials about allowing more flexibility when assessing kids who function way below their grade level. She's also taking a second look at graduation targets. New York State originally wanted an average of 80% of all special ed students to receive academic diplomas by 2011, but has scaled that goal back to 64%. In New York City, the goal is about 45%. Court believes that's still not too much to ask once schools really address the achievement gap.
When you actually point out to people and you examine very carefully this disproportionality, people are shocked and they don't realize that it's really going on in their school. They didn't really notice it. So just that first realization is a big part of it. And then you do have to look at what is driving this.
Actually, you know why... froze probably because you pass your time. I have parents
in her basement. Charlene Hall checks in on her son Trey as he uses the family computer. He's playing a game, but the computer won't let him continue after 8 p.m.
I'm 10 years old. Can you please take it off?
Trey may beat the odds. His parents are middle class, educated, and they've deliberately sent him to a school that's a half hour away by yellow bus in order to get the best program.
Trey's getting a college degree. There's no ifs, no doubts in my mind that that's what he's going to get.
Hall is now treasurer of the Citywide Council for Special Education, a parents' advisory group. She says parents should take more responsibility. She meets many who simply do whatever they're told when their children are diagnosed. But she says the whole city should start paying more attention to disabled students.
Anything that happens in special education is parallel to what happens in general education.
If special education isn't doing well, she says, it's an indication that all schools are failing. For WNYC, I'm Beth Fertig.